Okay, fantastic. Okay, we have a lot to accomplish today, guys. This is our Inner Circle Peace Performer kind of mastermind call for September, and we have a lot to accomplish. There's kind of a common, relatively robust, pretty vibrant thread right now on the member site, and a few emails that have come my way, and that's why I know a few emails that have come your way, plus through our coaching calls over the last couple of weeks. And I think it's our highest opportunity to sort of collaborate on that today, which the primary, focus will be sort of doing this new product launch, basically, this kind of renewal blitz, this how we move a bunch of students to the next level, either creating a new program to be able to move folks into or, really getting earnest about making that the system, if I already have that in place. And it's a common thread through a good number of our people forming Inner Circle folks that are kind of moving through that process right now. So I think that's our highest opportunity for today. So just two or three quick logistic items for everybody. Number one is if you received it today, we're using a text messaging system to remind everybody of our mastermind calls especially. And if I don't have your mobile number on file, you might want to do that. You might want to log into the member site and go to my account and just pop your mobile number into your record there. And this new system we're using online helps us sort of sync all these records together. So if you pop your cell phone number in there and mark it as mobile, that will be able to, text message you the login and access information for these calls, about 15 or 20 minutes ahead of time and things like that. And, we're not going to, send you a bunch of spam or anything, but it's a really useful reminder, and that way you have the data right handy, and you can just click on it and dial the number, and it's a very useful tool. So it'd be useful if you guys would do that. Two other quick logistics items. One is, as you know, the Denver Boot Camp is coming up at the beginning of November, and our Inner Circle Peace Performer Mastermind meetings are the 2 days prior. So November 3rd and 4th, which is Thursday and Friday, is our Denver Mastermind meeting, our live Mastermind meeting. And that's, I've been particularly focused on that, especially with a bunch of our new Peak Performer members, because there really is no substitute for getting locked in a room with 20 or 30 really smart people and banging into each other until you get your problem solved, right? And it's really, really, really powerful process. And that everybody should, do everything you possibly can to get there. So whatever you can do to get out to the Denver Boot Camp is going to be extremely useful. So that's the 4th. And then the Maha Karate Black Belt Retreat is all weekend, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And again, you kind of have a backstage pass to any and all of that stuff that you want to check out. It's a really useful activity because you get a chance to see sort of behind the scenes of the culture and the process itself. And again, it's a 3-day long black belt examination, but really it's a really high level, very challenging process that these students go through, that when they earn their black belt, when the black belt is tied on their waist, they've really accomplished something, right? It's modeled after sort of the Tony Robbins, breakthrough experience model, where, there's physical exhaustion and there's additional stress at high altitude, and, there are all these components that are really useful, and there's a bonding component that goes along with all that. So, again, I my personal experience with all this was, I've been in a bunch of different martial arts associations, and ranging from very, very, very traditional to pretty progressive, and one of the things that I always thought was a big, big, big mistake and really made me feel bad, frankly, about a lot of the direction martial arts was what I perceived martial arts was going, was, when I was with the ATA, I remember going to Little Rock, Arkansas, and taking my third-degree black belt testing, and for third-degree black belt, now granted, I was a pretty accomplished competitor, right, all through my, younger years, and even through my ATA years, I was, like 4-time state champion, a national champion, and all that stuff, right, but my third-degree black belt testing was literally do one form, break two sets of two boards, spar 3 rounds. That was it, right? I mean, that was my black belt examination, my third degree black belt examination, right? And I was, like, embarrassed, you know? It took all of, I was probably on stage for all of about, I don't know, 14 minutes, right? I mean, you know, how, like, lame is that, right? And I think what Master Oliver's accomplished with this retreat concept is completely the opposite end of the spectrum. It's how do you make it very difficult, not just in that three-day examination, but in the 12 weeks leading up to it. And then we'll go through all that stuff out there. So I think that that's a really useful activity, really useful for everybody in that environment. So quick review. The third and the fourth, all this is up on the member site, by the way, and you've gotten a bunch of emails about it, so I know I'm being a little bit redundant, but it's pretty important. November 3rd and 4th is a two-day mastermind meeting. 4th, 5th, and 6th is the black belt retreat that you, again, kind of have a backstage pass to. Now, the Friday and Saturday, Friday night and all day Saturday, we're also going to be doing kind of a high-level instructor boot camp. Kind of like what we did, you know, 4 or 5 months ago with the sales boot camp, sales training. We're going to do sort of the same, a similar model, but focused on instruction rather than on sales, right? So what I really like everybody to do, what I'd like to ask everybody to do, is come to the table with your, let's say, five favorite teaching skills, right? Five things that you make sure that all your instructors do when they're out on the floor. Maybe it's strategies for pace and peak, or strategies for, you know, touching each student three times, or where to touch the students and where not to, you know, things like that. Things that you would teach an instructor that you think are fundamental to creating a positive class environment and good classes, right? And then also five kind of drills, activities, things that you like to teach. Maybe a couple of different ways to mask repetition working on sidekicks, or form work or stance work or whatever the case may be, whatever your sort of favorite drills and activities are. And we'll all kind of share all that stuff all evening Friday, and then perhaps part of the day on Saturday. And, you know, of course, we'll capture on everything so that everybody has the opportunity to share all those resources. But it's, I think, a really useful environment in the mastermind concept, but certainly for our couple-day mastermind meeting working on specifically our business. But it's also, I think, very useful to get the same really smart people together and to think about the classroom as well, because that's a fundamental component of what we do, right? So those are kind of the three things that are happening all at the same time out in Denver. And again, you'll get all this information by email and on the member site and all this other stuff too, but just a quick outline, that's kind of what's happening out there, okay? So those are the first two items. The third and final item is leads us to what we're talking about today, with kind of launching these new programs, higher level programs, or doing renewal, what we call renewal blitzes. Both Hi Nguyen and John and a few other folks, they're not coming to me right now, James O'Connor and a couple of other folks, had some really good specific questions about launching a new program like this. And in fact, one of the questions I asked was, you know, do we have I had mentioned a bunch of mail pieces and reports and things like that we kind of worked on together. And all those questions are really useful, and I think they're really useful for more than just that person. I think they're really useful for everybody. So what I really want to do is get everybody acclimated with and reacquainted with using the discussion forum for Inner Circle and Performer members. Now, we've solved a couple of the additional problems that we used to have with it, with the additional login and everything like that. So now it's very simple. And so I asked Ty, and he did post up a couple of questions up there. That way everybody gets an opportunity to see what the question is, to kind of submit ideas and thoughts and answers, and we can collaborate a little bit more transparently online. That way when one person has a question, certainly more than one person has a question, and certainly more than one person can benefit from the answer. So we really want to use that as a, I hate to say it this way, but kind of as a primary method of group communication. So when you do have a question about something specific like that, or you don't know where a resource is, or you'd like to see a resource for something, post it up on the discussion forum so that everybody can see it. And we have that opportunity to, you know, kind of bring that mastermind concept into cyberspace as well, and, you know, broad-based communicate all that stuff. And in direct answer to Hi's question, I'm going to go ahead and post all those documents up there. 2 years ago, all the Inner Circle members and myself, we sort of collaborated on a project to build kind of a drip sequence supporting the upgrade. And everybody in the group wrote one report on one of the benefits of what their leadership program was all about. And that became kind of like a drip sequence for parents to kind of pre-frame them and inform them what it was all about. So I'm going to go ahead and post all those documents up there for everybody to share. And again, it's that collaborative nature of this thing that makes it really, really, really useful. And then add a competent guide and a competent mentor to help you move through that process and pare away the inessentials to focus on what's really important, really is where all the magic is. So, again, you know, the moral of the story is, instead of, you know, kind of shooting me an email with a direct question, I certainly don't mind, but it's much more useful if we post it up on the forum and get a little bit of collaboration going on between all of our folks. And right now, the subject for today is a pretty popular topic on the forum right now, although it's starting. It's how do we launch these programs? So the strategy for lots and lots of our Peak Performers Inner Circle members is they've chosen and they've decided.
Toby. Yeah. Toby. Before we move forward here, let me rephrase what you said a minute ago. Is any communication between Peak Performers Inner Circle and us, if we can direct it at the discussion forum, unless it's confidential, right? So if you have some internal crisis that you don't want the world to know about, and of course, you know, among us, we will keep things confidential among the Peak Performers Inner Circle. But if there's something that's how to do the renewal better, how to do the enrollment better, 12 ways to get more volume of people in, all of that kind of stuff, we should drive primarily through the discussion forum. And if you're like me and haven't been able to figure out how to get into our own damn stuff, call Bob, and he can walk you through it, any time, day or night, pretty much, to make sure that we're up and running with that. But hey, Toby, before we get into renewal blitz, can we go back on a couple of things? One is at the Keystone event, what we want to do with it is we're going to do a couple of days of kind of normal Peak Performer Inner Circle Mastermind training, and then we're going to go into high-level instructor training. And two things we'd like everybody to do, and again, it's going to be integrated with and in parallel with the Mile High Karate Black Belt Test and retreats and the franchisee training and so forth. But what we'd like everybody to do is, one, bring as many of your staff as possible. For those who brought staff to the last event, I think it was very, very, very productive. This is more of a staff event than that one was. Number two is bring uniform, bring all of your martial arts gear and plan on being actively involved on the martial arts side. Last year, what we ended up with at Keystone, which was not really what the plan was, and we're going to plan better this year, is we ended up with everybody kind of in the room talking about the martial arts business while the martial arts business was going out on the floor. And so this time we're going to have everybody actively engaged as martial artists through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and as Toby said, be doing high-level instructor training, leadership training. One of the things you alluded to, Toby, to make more specific, is my mission is all of our heavy hitters in Inner Circle. I want to get a two or three interviews with each of you, and several of you have gotten the first round done, and a few of you I haven't done that yet. In fact, Jonathan, I know you're on the call. I forgot to mention that today when we were on the phone. But I want to get high-level interviews. But the next thing is we want to get our heavy hitters, those who are really doing big numbers, whether they're on the Mile High Karate side of the franchise or whether they're Inner Circles or newbie performers, qualifying for Inner Circle, is we want to get your best floor structures, both structures, drills, methodologies, and so forth. And we want to start getting that on video. And our evolution of member content is to really make sure that all of the material we're giving to all the members is the stuff that's happening on the floor of $250,000 in net schools, rather than occasionally we end up with high-quality martial artists who are broke. We really don't want to emulate or replicate what they're doing. We want to replicate what high-quality schools that are also highly profitable are doing. So just to reinforce that, at the event in Keystone, as many staff as you can bring, the better. and or black belts you want to bring, the better. Have them in uniform. I will warn you, everybody, that you need to book your tickets pretty early, because even though we're still sort of in off-season ski-wise, is we are directly across the street from the largest convention centers in any of the ski areas. And so last year they booked up the hotel pretty quick, so you really should plan on booking for our room block this week or next week at the latest, and bring as many people as possible with you. But Toby, that was one of the things that I wanted to hit before we moved on. The other thing is, you know, I've done an awful lot of the one-on-one calls with on both sides with our franchisees when they're inner circle. And I will tell you, what is the norm right now is people flooded with more intros than they know how to handle. And so if any of the anybody in our inner circle of peak performers aren't just, you know, worrying about how to keep their ratios up in the face of a torrent of intro volume, then we really need to let them know that, you know, the social proofs, the results are, and this is everywhere from Bossier City, Louisiana, to Fresno, California, Thornton, Colorado, Houston, Texas, Fishkill, New York, Bermuda, is everybody that I, in Sterling, Virginia, everybody that I'm talking to, the majority of the ones I'm talking to are hitting all-time records as far as volume of people coming in the door. And so if you're not hitting those kind of records, you need to know that a lot of people are.
On that topic really quick, you know, one of the things I think that I noticed with the peak performer specifically, and again, the guys in the peak performer group right now kind of fit into two categories. I have one chunk of them that are like just ready to break the threshold to jump into the inner circle group. You know what I mean? They're just on the knife edge. And another group who are just kind of getting started. And I'll tell you what's interesting about what you just said. The folks who are realizing this big flood of traffic right now, they articulated it to me this way. I have a commonality of about 8 or 9 guys. Actually, it might even be a little bit more than that. But they didn't articulate it this way, but this is really what they were telling me, was they now are going to get in front of the big stream, the big herd, you know, the big stream where the fish are actually running, right? And 5 or 6 of them had an interesting comment, which was, you know, they never had the confidence to be able to go to the elementary school before, right? They always thought that there was like this, you know, iron wall that they couldn't penetrate, that, you know, God forbid, what if somebody says no, right? And James O'Connor's a good example, not of what I'm describing right now, but James O'Connor's a good example of just going to the elementary schools. He took himself, went to one, and took staff members and sent them to 2 or 3 others when they had just an open house, and ended up with something like 98 elites, you know, in a night. And it's stuff like that, like, that I see as a commonality with our guys just getting kind of involved in this process, is what they really needed was just a boost of confidence to just go do it, right? Just go get in front of them, you know? So I think again, like you said, if you're not having that influx of traffic right now, buck up, right? I mean, just put on the muscle shirt, you know, and just go get in front of the elementary school. Go get in front of the youth group. Go get in front of the big herd of fish that are, you know, the big herd of salmon that are swimming up the stream, right? So I think that was a commonality that I'm seeing on the lower end.
There's been a tendency for people to do things that are cheap and easy, but low volume, right? And so, you know, 3 things that I can think of, all of which work, none of which are going to have you drinking out of a fire hose, are, you know, lead boxes done, you know, 50 or 100 lead boxes, bandit signs out, 20 or 30 bandit signs out, rack cards. All those things work fine. And all of them are cheap enough and easy enough that they merit doing. None of them are going to have you drinking from a fire hose, right? The only way you get to drink from a fire hose with, let's say, lead boxes is by having, you know, several hundred of them out. You can get that to work, but it's high volume. And part of what I think, Jonathan and I were just having this conversation, part of the thing is moving from, you know, doing things that are creating low volume, and not abandoning things that are working, even if they're working just okay, but layering on the things where you can go get, like, you know, Richard in Bossier City, got 28 appointments in 2 hours at a Girl Scout event. And we know, like, Sasha has been doing as many as 250 intros in a month, mostly from, like, home and garden shows and things like that. So there are certainly ways to go out and get in front of a herd of people. Another way to do it, frankly, is to, you know, get where you're running $100,000 a month school or even $50,000 a month school. We've got a lot of our guys who are at that point. And then you can shift it into media buys. And, you know, what does happen when you have a high level of volume and you start getting, you know, the revenue to, you know, commensurate with it, is sooner or later you get, you'd rather trade dollars rather than time. So that's, you know, that's frankly, I've got six of our guys where I'm, you know, now teaching them how not to work so hard and keep the volume coming by buying traffic rather than going out and working for it. But hey, the other thing that I want to hit before we leave today, but let's go into renewable it, is I want to walk through everybody some of the thoughts that we're having on the we're trying to put together the 2012-13-14 schedule, and you know, some of the venues we're considering and so forth. It's just kind of discuss that before we're done, and also discuss some of what we're doing as far as doing one-on-one visits to some of the schools or one-on-one consulting, you know, here. So let's move that to the end of the call. Let's make sure we don't miss that. But let's go back into renewable.
Yeah. So a lot of our folks are in one of two scenarios. Scenario number one is they've had multiple programs in their school for a while. Like they've had some kind of an orientation program or a basic program, and then maybe they have like a flagpole club as well, and then maybe and or a master club. And then others are in the situation where they don't. They've been doing what I just define as a linear model, where they're just end-to-end-to-end, linearly moving a student through their process. So, you know, 12-month agreement, at the end of the agreement, they put them on another 12-month agreement, at the end of the 12-month agreement, they put them on another 12-month agreement. And in some cases, it's 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, you know, some cases it's 6, 12, 12, whatever. So those are the two different kind of categories we have, and there's most are highly interested in moving to a model where they move people into an orientation program and then move a high percentage of them up into a higher level program. And that certainly is one way of leveraging up revenue, leveraging up student commitment and retention that's hyper effective in these schools. And it's you know, I think you can argue this, but I would argue it's the highest leverage activity you can do in the business, because there is your bottleneck is the front door. The bottleneck is how many people you can bring into the program. So the best way, the most effective way, and really the most ethical way to leverage all that is to solve bigger problems for that customer once you have the ability to create a relationship with them. So maybe we can just kind of start there. So if I know that this is what I want to accomplish, I've got two different spectrums. I have 100 students in my school, none of them who have ever seen this new thing before. Other side of the spectrum is I've got, you know, a couple hundred students in the school. They've seen this other thing for a while, but I'm not very effective at getting people into it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about first what the biggest elephant in the room is on this thing over and over and over again, Toby, is, you know, when our guys want to go implement the next new thing, what it seems like everybody, and I've yet to encounter the exception to this, what everybody wants to do is spend a lot of time thinking about developing the program, making sure they have the year or two or 3 years worth of what the curriculum is going to be completely spelled out and organized, making sure their staff understands completely what specifically technically they're going to be teaching, thinking and evaluating what, you know, what it is they're going to do rather than just going and selling it, right? And the you know, I've used the story a few times, but one of the people we brought in had told me on a one-on-one call that he was, you know, going to spend the next 3 or 4 months working, developing his, you know, his leadership program, and he was going to then launch it. I think this was over the summer, so in January. And you know, I told the story of, you know, shooting the infomercial that I'm sure everybody has seen by now. It's up on the website, with no idea whatsoever, really, what the technical details of the curriculum were going to be, only what the outcomes were targeting to be, and then doing $750,000 or more in business. Again, without knowing what the technical implications were, knowing that I had the time between Christmas and New Year's to figure out what we were going to teach for the first quarter specifically, and then teach the staff before, you know, before the first class started, when I promised it to happen in the second week in January. And an awful lot, even some fairly successful 50,000 and up month schools, end up in the mode of trying to, you know, trying to understand every nook and cranny in detail and what they're going to do next year and the following year before selling it. And I think what it comes from, though, is I think they think the students are buying it based upon knowing all the technical specifics of what's going to happen rather than knowing what the target outcome is. Does that make sense? Think about, you know, think about going to, you know, in my case I went to Georgetown, but think about going to whatever college you went to if you did, and you don't enroll in college knowing that in the spring of your junior year you're going to take microeconomic theory, and for God's sake, what the requirements of that class are going to be in one thing or another. It isn't part of the equation. You do it because of the outcome, you know, getting a bachelor's degree, which ties into your career goals, ties into your personal goals, whatever it might be. More or less what the timeline and the process is going to be, and what your target outcome is. You don't do it based upon all the technical details. And I think it's very important not to, to get bogged down in that.
The thing to consider is that there are two constituencies that you have to serve, right? One constituency is a student, and they have to be titillated and excited about the cool things that they get to do. And that might be, I don't know, a certain number of cool things that are reserved for people in that program. And in my personal implementation of it was, you know, we didn't really teach any, we taught only two weapons before black metal. We taught single stick and nunchuck. And then so we added in the leadership program, we added, you know, long staff, commas, and the three sectional staff, right? So that was what they, you know, were turned on about. And then they could do some musical forms and some things like that. So really, I mean, it was that simple. So that was enough sizzle for the student to get excited and thrilled about it.
But before you finish that, is keeping in mind that everything you just said was physical, and that, you know, you mentioned ATA earlier. What I've seen ATA, and it's a fabulous organization, but what I've seen many of them miss the point of is people aren't going to pay $497 a month to learn XMA and a Bo staff. I mean, it's just not what the program is about. And what Sean Harvey has discovered with, you know, women doing a cardio kickboxing program is the same thing that I know about a kids program, is the same thing that Lloyd Irving, with my direction, figured out with, you know, adult men doing MMA, is you can charge very high price points if it's about something other than just physical. And that's
exactly where I was going, was you have two constituencies. One is the student. And for the student, you need some cool physical stuff that they get turned on about. But the more important constituency is the parent. And that's where exactly what you said is, like, of paramount importance. They don't really care that the kid gets to learn commas and three-sectional staff, right? They can care less. What they care about is what you just described. And you know, it's all about, again, whatever that program is going to be about for you. And I think this is where this business is brilliant. I love this business because you get to do what you want to do, right? Provided that can be congruent with what your customers want, right? So if teaching leadership skills is not what you want to do, well, maybe there's another set of skills that you can teach that the parents of your students really want, right? So I think it's all about serving the customer at a higher level, serving the student and the family at a higher level. So if you're currently serving them at A level in your core program, what other problems can you solve for them at a higher level that they would be happy and willing to, number one, pay more for, but that they really want, right, and that they really need? So that's the great part of our business, is we have the opportunity to solve a bigger problem. And I think the example, the Chris Tomczak chiropractic example is a great example for our folks, even though it's outside the martial arts. But in Chris Tomczak's model, he's a chiropractor. People come in for chiropractic treatment. After a few adjustments, they see good results. They're starting to feel better. They're starting to, you know, they're believing more and more in the product that they bought because it's working for them. Then he went and did broad-based surveying of all the chiropractic customers he had in his couple of hundred locations and found out that a huge percentage of them, I think it was in the 80s, you know, 80% or more of his chiropractic customers were overweight. And he said to himself, and this is, I think, what you need to say to yourself, he said to himself, look, if this patient is trusting their health to me as a doctor and I don't do something about their weight, I'm disserving this customer. I'm disserving this patient, right? They're coming to me for professional medical advice. If I don't tell them, if I don't help them quit smoking, if I don't help them lose weight, I'm taking advantage of this customer, right? So then he has a process in his business, in the model, where after some treatments, after the person starts to feel better, they trust the doctor, they know, like, and trust the system, they believe in what the doctor says, and they're going to lend credence to what the doctor recommends, they basically move them into a weight loss program. And that weight loss program now is the most profitable part of that chiropractic business. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Robert, you may know the numbers better than I do, but I believe that the weight loss product was a multiple of the revenues that came in versus the chiropractic treatment. So think about how that applies to our business. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, the same place you are. So go ahead. So how it applies to us.
Yeah, so think about how that applies to a martial arts school. We're acquiring customers. We're enrolling new students to solve problem X. And perhaps problem X is Johnny needs a little bit of help with his focus. He needs a little bit of help with his self-esteem. He's falling behind in school because he's afraid to raise his hand in class, whatever the case may be, right? So, again, modeling what I was describing in a parallel industry, once we get Johnny in class, we start to build his confidence, he starts to feel better, the parents see concrete examples and results of that activity, of that progress at home, at school, inside the martial arts academy, and out in life. Now, what can he do to solve a bigger problem for that family, right? And the code that you cracked a long time ago was that parents are very likely, when parents come into the school initially, they just kind of want Johnny to be okay, right? They just want him to be average, typical, normal. They want him to be okay. Now, once they start to become okay, the next step in their development or evolution is, well, now instead of just being a productive member of this class, what about being a leader of this class? What about taking the next step, and instead of just having an okay job when he graduates from college, you know, having the skills to be in charge of a company, or having the skills to be, you know, to manage people, or to be the upper level executive rather than a low, mid level factory worker, right? So this is the paradigm shift that we're moving students through in the program. The orientation program is designed to help students become an independent self-starter and a good team member.
Yeah. Well, let's you know, we don't present that as the orientation. That's actually the black belt program. But see, what I think a lot of people get bogged down in to begin with is they're trying to sell time, not trying to sell outcomes. Right. So I don't want to skip ahead. Let's make this very practical for everybody. The first thing is it's got to be about, is again, you know, when I talk about Harvard and their graduation rate and so forth, it's got to be about taking somebody who came in, and sometimes they're just looking for an alternative to soccer in the off season, and sometimes a friend of theirs told them that this was a good activity for ADD kids. I mean, there's all ranges of how they got to you and why they enrolled to begin with. Same is true of the adult men. Same is true of the the adult women. But it's got to start with our early interaction with them, starting at lesson one. But really, it's the first couple weeks of their enrollment. Is that we're focusing them on making a commitment to train to black belt and beyond. And if you don't get that commitment And, you know, as you've taught in the seminars many times, Toby, is it's, is, you know, first I've got to believe that you're real, and then I've got to believe that the kind of results that you're talking about that other people have achieved, and then I've got to believe that I can achieve them, and I've got to believe that I will achieve them, right? And so it's those early stages of lots and lots of social proof, videos of parents talking about how great it is, videos of kids performing and talking about how great things and what they have accomplished, putting black belts up in front of them at you know, classes and testings and so forth to perform, having parents give testimonials, sharing the essays. It's all of that kind of social proof that's necessary to get to that second step, is that lots and lots of other people have achieved what you're promising them that they can achieve, right? And then it's that next level of showing them that, and we all have a tendency to make our black belts superstars and make ourselves, you know, sound like we, you know, train in the left hand of God. But the, you know, the reality is they've got to see that lots of other people who were uncoordinated and out of shape and, you know, were not natural have accomplished this whole process. Not to believe that you started out as a superhuman being and that, you know, nobody could possibly ever accomplish the same thing you did. That's, you know, what's had a tendency to happen in the industry is incredibly unproductive from the standpoint of getting them renewed. Is you want them to see awkward, shy kid became, you know, honor student, and, you know, in my case, I always talk about being from in the braces from the hips down in elementary school, and, you know, being the least coordinated, you know, least competent person in my class, and then, you know, it's all of those things that help move people to that next step of believing and thinking and understanding that, you know, if this child who was crippled and this child who was sexually abused and this one who was asthmatic and this one who has ADHD and this adult who has heart disease and this adult who has a bad back, you know, and I mean, you want to feature people who aren't, you know, ill or so forth either, but if they see all of those different references of your current black belts who have achieved an incredible amount, who started off comparable to them or even more awkward or challenged than them, then that's a starting point for them to set that goal and feel like they can be a black belt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's got to be real for them. That's exactly right. Okay, so I think maybe to dive into the technical a little bit. So in the ideal model, well, I don't say the ideal model, but as time goes on, we want to make sure that we're plucking the fruit when they're ripe, right? We have to make sure that we're moving people into these programs when they're ready. And that timeline in many cases can be as early as a couple of weeks. It can be, you know, a number of months, but we have to have processes in place to be able to continue to thump them and make sure that we're monitoring when. So what are some of the mechanical pieces of it that you see are most important?
Well, to be definitive on what you just said, is the answer on the timeline is almost always the earlier the better. So, you know, what happens is with anything, doesn't matter whether you join a new church, you join a new school, you join some new activity, the time that you're most excited about it, telling all your friends most interested and most enthusiastic is early on. That doesn't mean your brown belts aren't happy with the school and glad that they did it and proud to be there, but it does mean the time that I am most likely to do anything is when I'm early on in the program. And the later you let them get in the program without having been offered and moved up into the next level, the harder it is. It's also why when you do one of these renewal blitzes, I know our primary topic is, let's say I've got 140 people who have all not ever heard of this thing before, and I'm going to go through all of them and get them, you know, try to get 80%, and worst case, I can usually get 50 or 60% of them into the next new thing. But what I was going to say is you don't want to start with like your black belts and move your way down. You want to start with your white belts and move your way up. It's the ones that are newest into the school and have had the least time being indoctrinated into your old system that are the easiest to do. So an awful lot of it technically is going at, you know, in for your confidence or your staff's confidence, the more wins you get, the quicker, you know, the easier it is to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, so that's exactly right. So we've got 100 new students that, you know, we've had in the school for a long time and introducing what are some of the mechanical pieces? I mean, you mentioned a couple things up front, I think, that are really useful that weren't explicit, but, you know, you're talking about success stories and live testimonials of people who have accomplished it. You know, one of the mechanical pieces of it that I did in my own launches was every week I would have a special leadership preview class, and I would invite all of the current leadership students, but I'd also invite the list of the rightness prospects. So let's say 20 of the people who I wanted to move into that thing, and I'd have them come into this leadership preview class. They didn't perceive that they were participating in a full leadership class, but they thought that they were seeing a little bit about it, right? And I would during that class have parents stand up and do live testimonials. So I, you know, we'd do a few activities and things like that. It'd be real high energy, really high discipline, high efficacy, what they want to see. But then I'd have everybody kind of sit down in front of the parent seat for just a few moments and, you know, say, Mr. Jones, you know, when you enrolled, you know, your son in our leadership program, you were a little hesitant. You thought that he was just a little too young and, you know, he's only 5 years old at the time, and you were thinking that, you know, was this really a good fit for him because he's so young? You know, what have you found? And just have her stand up and talk, right? I mean, that you mentioned that just kind of briefly, but that strategy is, I believe, one of the most powerful things you can do, because everybody in the room gets the emotional and the connected sense that she's going to project for you, right? So I think that's one piece. If I'm considering a launch like this, I think I would do a weekly activity. Maybe it's a Friday 1 week, a Saturday the next week, a Tuesday the next week, whatever, where I invite those prospects. I put them through a process where I know they're going to show up, and I confirm them, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I orchestrate it so that I have my top leadership students in there already, and their parents are there, and I have the thing set up so that it's highly productive for me. So I think that's one marketing strategy to move people into these programs that's very, very effective. What are kind of some of the big rocks, Mr. Oliver, that you know, all of your folks are using?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, you know, the big rocks in the jar. What are the big kind of if I want to move 100 of my people into this deal?
I guess the first question, which is why, you know, the one-on-one calls is obviously so useful on an ongoing basis, is the first thing is, you know, what is the new thing and what is the old thing, right? I mean, if I've got a bunch of students who are enrolled to get to their black belt already, and the gig is not that I'm, you know, getting them committed to get to black belt, but that I'm doing, let's say I'm overlaying a master club on top of it or a leadership program on top of it, then the conversation is a little bit different than, you know, so let's take, you know, some examples of conversations I've had just in the last week. You know, one is everybody in perspective is enrolled a year at a time, and in reality they're enrolled on a month-to-month basis, right? So now we're overlaying a commit to black belt program, and that's what the, you know, what the renewal is. Another one would be more like Jonathan Metcalf's perspective, and it might be useful to get Jonathan and Randy Eldridge and some of the people who are implementing this and get their specific examples. You know, any of them who are on the line, why don't you guys unmute yourself and we can talk about it. But in the case of the other cases, I'm already enrolled to get to my black belt, but now there's this new thing. It's the your version of solving the next problem. So I'm black belt club, and now I'm overlaying the master club. That's a different thing than everybody's on month to month or everybody's a year at a time, and now I'm trying to convert them into commitment to black belt. And I think for people to get their arms wrapped around the commitment to black belt piece is the easiest, right? Is you know, the question that Randy asked is, well, if they all perceive that they can get their black belt by doing this, you know, a year at a time, how do I transition that first you go about in all the classes teaching goal setting and then teaching the realities of setting a goal, because if you're not committed to any goal, you're not going to achieve it. And then it's, you know, all the benefits of being a black belt, what other people who are in the process of accomplishing their black belt have gotten, why you want to make a commitment to, you know, and the analogy is academics work well. You don't want to go to high school without getting your college, your high school diploma. You don't want to go to college without getting your bachelor's and your master's and your PhD. You know, who wants to go to college for a year and a half? And you certainly don't decide to go to college to see how you like the first midterms. So you've got to have that kind of language tied into it for them to, you know, to fully understand it. But why don't we talk to some of whoever's on the line who's in the process of this right now? You know, let's talk about it. If you unmute, and then we'll kind of walk through some of the specifics of how to implement it.
Yeah, you just have to hit 6 to unmute, and you should be all set.
Is anybody out there? That is always a problem of doing that without having somebody prepped to chip in at the time. Who's in the process of doing this right now and are feeling your way through it? Well, while we're waiting for somebody to chip in, why don't we just talk about those two scenarios? Scenario one is I'm now creating a real program to get to the black belt, and scenario two is I already had a black belt program of some sort. I'm trying to overlay a master club or a leadership to it, right? So, you know, let's give the scenario of how you go about. I'll pick a number out of the hat. What's typical? How many students? Let's say I have 150 that are all on the old thing that I'm trying to go through and renew in mass. You know, like, you know, in Eric and High's case, it's more like 600, right? But let's say 150 to make it, you know, to make it a manageable number. So let's start with the easiest thing is nobody in the school is enrolled to get their black belt, and they're either on a month-to-month or six-month contracts or one-year contracts. Now I want to overlay the thing, right? And so it's now going through the entire school, teaching them about goal setting and convincing them that they all want to be black belts and they want to commit to black belts. And so now, using your terminology, what some of the big rocks are is goal setting worksheets, teaching about goal setting, teaching about all success comes from goal setting. You know, Ryan Tracy's language is, you know, all success is goal setting, everything else is just commentary. And so, you know, we've always used like one of the old Zig Ziglar goal sheets and hand them out and then hand it out with the, you know, the goal of getting to black belt and second degree black belt already outlined for them and what the steps are. And so, like, over an 8-week process, it would include everybody in the class given a black belt. Picture is taken of them with their black belt. The picture is, and by the way, now they have this little wireless printer that you can print from your iPhone or your Android phone, and it's kind of like my, you know, it's why I like the little Polaroid cameras. You can just print out one piece at a time, so you can take the picture with your camera phone and print it out right there. But, you know, a big board in the school, all of our future black belts, give them a black belt to wear in class, take one of those silver Sharpie markers and write their target black belt date on the thing, send them home with the picture to put up on their, you know, on their vanity to look at every day. Then going through the process of, like, what we've done for years is, you know, what martial arts has done for me, essays for everybody who gets their black belt. So then we copy bundles of different years and give them to all the parents who are sitting there watching class during class, send them home with everybody and use as a mailer, right? So 1 week they'll get one set, the next week they'll get another set, next week they get another set, next week they get another set. Of course, that's social proof. At the same time, everybody's seen that renewal DVD, but it's just loaded with parent testimonials. Easy to accomplish that. What you don't want to do is plan for it. What you do want to do is stick a video camera in people's face, preferably when they're in the middle of an intramural or a black belt testing or some other kind of emotional high, and then just ask them leading questions and let them ramble. So the the key elements would be teaching them goal setting, letting them visualize the goal, in this case wearing a black belt in class, that's a target black belt date, showing them examples of tons of other people who have done this. Now, if you have 150 people that you're trying to go through this process with, what you do is you do it with the entire school all at once, right? So if I had 150 people, I go order 150 black belts, put them all in black belts. The ATA, language is a black belt a minute. Make sure all the instructors incorporate black belt language in everything they do. Okay, today we're going to do push-ups just like we're black belts already. And, it's just constant. Give the black belt goal setting sheets. Walk through goal setting in classes. Give out anything you can come up with that is proof of the outcomes that your black belts get. That certainly includes lining up your adult and junior black belts to come and perform during your beginner's classes, having parents show up and give, testimonials about what's happened. All of that stuff, by the way, if you had 150 people, I would do it by teleconference as well. So you line up 10 of your black belts and their parents to be on the phone. You promote through email, postcard, discussions in class, the big teleconference you're going to do about how to train through and get your black belt. You line up a bunch of parents and a bunch of the kids, and they all, you interview them, and they give testimonials on the teleconference. You try to get everybody on the teleconference, and then you record it, and you have a CD that you can hand everybody out. And you can do all that stuff very easily and very quickly. So anything to add to that from a standpoint, if you don't already have them all enrolled to black belt?
No, I think from a paradigm standpoint, I think the logistics that you're talking about, I think that's exactly what I think all of our folks really need to have their confidence built on, right? They really need to have kind of a bullet point plan, and I think that's a really good start on one. I think one of the additional components that you want to make sure you're including is through social proof, selecting the social proof that you're using that points out the pink elephant in the room, right? So whatever you perceive the potential objections to be, right? So if it's commitment, pride, whatever, can he really do this, all that sort of stuff, you want to put that stuff front and center, you want to have parents, like I mentioned, as I have the live testimonials in the preview class. Well, I want to make sure I'm picking the live testimonials that address what people are already thinking. If you don't point it out first, they think that you're trying to be deceptive, right? So you want to have the mom of the 5-year-old stand up and say, well, I thought he was just too young. I didn't see how he was going to get the benefit of this, quote-unquote leadership process because he's only 5. But what I found was, right? And then you want to have the person who stands up and says, I just didn't know how I was going to afford it. I saw that it was a great program. I just didn't know how I was going to fit it in the budget. But what we found was, right? So you've got, I think those are some of the things that you want to make sure that you're having addressed in the social proofing process. And you mentioned a bunch of different media to use, right? A DVD, a CD, a webinar, a teleseminar, email and postcards, and little YouTube videos, and all that stuff today is so cheap and easy to do in comparison to 10 years ago, even a couple of years ago. So don't get overwhelmed by technology or anything like that. I mean, in a lot of cases, in almost every case, it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to get it done, right?
But keeping in mind, and I think people get bogged down in this too, is, honestly, you take all of the stuff, right? So let's say we created 22 direct mail packages that go to the students, 183 emails, 3 teleconferences, 5 text messages, and, whatever else stuff, right? Well, ultimately, maybe you can get, out of 150 people, you get 15 people, 18, 20 people renewed through all of that stuff combined. The way you get 80% of them is the 80% is all about personally belly-to-belly talking to them. And the renewal comes from the floor first, and then it comes through, if you have a separation of instructor, program director, it comes through the instructor handing them off into the program director. And so If you don't have that, you don't get the thing done. Everything else is just support for that process. It's giving them validation and giving them, I had somebody ask me yesterday, say, well, if you do all that stuff, how many of them come into your office and ask you to do it? And my flippant answer is always none. The reality is you'll have 10% of them. I always assume none of that stuff. It's like when we're trying to do marketing to, like, say, an elementary school, I always assume none of them are going to call me, no matter how many times I mail them stuff and everything else that make a difference. I have to track them down, rather than vice versa.
Question. The mailing and the only thing really is the magic on that. And, if our paradigm right now is I've got a couple of hundred students and I want to move a bunch of them into this new thing, then I think you also have to make sure you're doing a little bit of a takeaway. You've got to make sure it's something that they really do have to qualify for, some kind of an application process. If you go to milehighblackbelt.com, you'll see some of the Mile High Karate process, the applications up there and things like that. But there has to be some hoops that they have to jump through, and they have to be real hoops. It can't be just lip service. We require that all their elementary schools basically sign off on the deal, right? Teachers sign off on the deal. Parents have to. They have to have a recommendation from, another mentor, things like that. So, it's got to be, it all has to be no BS, right? But it does have, you do have to force them to perform, to force them through some hoops, and make sure that that they're psychologically really committed to what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's very important. But let's go on to the other version of this is, and a lot of it overlaps. But now I've got the situation where I am trying to create, or not trying, I'm creating a new program, right? So let's say everybody in the school has been, offered in the past. It's you enroll for a year and then you go to Black Belt Club. And now I want to have the next new thing. And the reason for the next new thing is really only two things, right? So it could be I've got them all enrolled, first degree Black Belt, now I want to enroll in the second degree Black Belt. And that's essential no matter what you do. Or it's I've got them all paying $150 a month, and I want to figure out a way to get them to pay $250 or $500 or whatever the number is. And, I'll tell you what my target is on the franchise side, is we want to have it be, we're not there yet, but, $247 a month to enroll, and then a $347 a month upgrade, and then a $497 a month upgrade, and then a $997 a month program. And So now is the difference between renewal, and you had talked about that before as far as it being sequential, time length, to the language of upgrade, meaning they're getting more of a thing, more curriculum, more training, solving a different problem or solving a problem more quickly. So they're getting that at a higher price point. And frankly, there's two ways to raise their, if it's the monthly payment, to raise their monthly payment. One is through accelerating the tuition. On a three-year program, I pay for it in 18 months. So I'm paying $150 a month for tuition, but really I pay $300 a month for 18 months, and that's paid for. That's one way, and everybody should do that to some extent. The other way is to create the new higher thing that has a higher price point. So everybody's in, and that was the example before, everybody's in Black Belt Club, and now I want to create the higher level thing. Now that's a different conversation because you've got to really walk them through and convince them on what's new and exciting about the next new thing, what they're going to learn that's different from what they've already learned. But it's got to be outcome-based, not technical in nature. I was just walking through with Jonathan Metcalf just a few minutes ago. But when we launched the leadership program, we had a Black Belt Club and a Master Club, and then gradually had gotten rid of Black Belt Club and just had Master Club because it was the next new thing, and then we were going to add the leadership program. And the conversation to begin with people was, you know, we've been spending a lot of time, and we've been working with the top school owners in the country, and really evaluating. What we've decided to do is take all the curriculum that we used to teach, the third to fifth degree black belts, and chunk it up such that we can start it at gold belt. And so this is all material that we've always done in the program. It's just that we didn't have a belief system before because we hadn't really evaluated and looked at the skill set that we now have, that we believe that by the time somebody gets physically to first-degree black belt, we can be teaching the same leadership skills that we used to teach to third, fourth, and fifth-degree black belts, and have that level of accomplishment be comparable from a standpoint of leadership training. And that's really, in part, the way we introduced that, is it wasn't like it was a completely new thing, something we hadn't done before, but it's something we had never done before for people at their level. And we're going to create this exciting new opportunity that you can learn at a much lower level and to move from there.
Yeah, I made a very similar argument when I had actually gone through that process twice. And one of them, it really does have to do with technology, right? And I don't mean like computers and email and stuff like that. And so with teaching technology, we know that today we can deliver better outcomes to a student physically by using a rotating curriculum, by having a block style of curriculum so that people are learning curriculum in a more organized manner, more congruently, alongside the guy next to them. There are teaching methodologies and technologies that help us communicate better to people faster in bigger groups. Well, that's again a great piece of leverage for you, right? I mean, this is not just new technical technology. This is new teaching technology that are going to help these students acquire more skills in a shorter period of time and be better at it at the end of the day. That's part of what they're buying, you know. So I think all that's pretty relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a matter of deciding what the outcome is for your program and deciding what they'll be excited to accomplish and then presenting it congruently, right? So if you, there's all kinds of examples of this, but at one end, you know, when we were in our Washington, D.C. seminar, we were using Sean Harvey's example, but, I asked them, write down on your piece of paper how much you think a cardio kickboxing program is worth. And I'm guessing most of them came up with, $75 a month. But then in Bermuda, it's $2.97 a month and then $4.97 a month. And it's not about, having, some fit guy or cute girl who's athletic teaching and bouncing around to the music. It's about a focused weight loss program, a focused personal development program. It's about having all the pieces together to have it be, as Sean dubbed it, a 360 personal development program, and that's what creates the value. So as you learn how to present it, and again, that milehighblackbelt.com is a perfect example that everybody can look at to get the sense of and model without copying. Of taking the family and kids market and describing what the program is all about. The adult market is really very little different other than the way you describe it. And you've talked about it before already, but it's, if it's an adult 35-year-old man who's an attorney, it's about confidence and giving him the ability to be more successful in his career. And there's all that language that goes with it. And if it's a adult woman, it's in many cases on both sides, it's about weight loss, and it's about physical fitness as opposed to self-defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is I hate to kind of go backwards again, but there have been people that have worked in the martial arts industry and have done this unethically. There have been people who do what I consider to be a bait and switch sale up front. They sit down with the parent and basically say, look, you're enrolling in the best thing since sliced bread. This is going to solve all your problems. This is the best thing that you're ever going to do in your life. Sign here, press real hard, there's three copies, right? And then 2 months later, 3 months later, they go back to that same person and say, well, Mr. Jones, I told you 3 months ago that you're enrolling in the best thing since sliced bread and this is going to solve all your problems. well, I really lied to you because we have something that's even better, right? That's not the deal. The deal is it's more of a takeaway sale.
Well, but keep in mind that's not the way that works from a sales process.
Exactly.
Because again, I think the unethical part is only if you sell somebody on something, get them to give you a bunch of money that you're not in fact delivering times two, right? And so if you're and I've heard people talk about prepaid renewals as being unethical. Well, it's only unethical if your school's not going to be there in 3 years, or the outcome they get is not twice as good as you promised, right? And so if you overpromise, underdeliver, anything you ask them for money for is unethical. But if you overdeliver and you make sure that a high percentage of them get there and that you do everything you can to facilitate that, then you know that it's not unethical. But the bait and switch thing you're talking about, I think, is more often encountered from the student perspective. And what I mean by that is, if I am just so happy to get them enrolled for 6 months or 12 months that I don't give them a vision of what's coming up, and you know, and I can give them that vision before or after they write the check and sign the contract, but it's got to be right, you know, right then. Then an awful lot of them are going to say, well, you told me I was signed up for a year. I assumed I wasn't going to have to talk to you again about any of this stuff for a year, right? On the other hand, if you use the language that we've got in the sales seminar we just did, which is, now this is Jones, you know, again, for child, Joey's seven now, takes 3 or 4 years to be a black belt. I mean, too, he'll be a black belt when he's 10 or 11. Obviously, once the child gets a black belt to continue to second and third degree, he could actually be a second degree black belt by the time he's 13. We start with a trial enrollment now to evaluate whether we feel comfortable with committing ourselves to get him to that point or not. And over the next few weeks, next few months, we'll be evaluating and see if he qualifies. See, if you use that language at the enrollment or similar language that shows them, there's this big thing out here and this long-term goal, but we're starting with the short-term goal just to get started. Then they know ahead of time. And then after you finalize the enrollment, you can say, you know, over the next few classes, we're going to be working together and evaluating and explaining more about what the longer-term programs are. You don't get the pushback of, can't I just wait till the end of the year to decide? So it's very important to have that early on. But again, from the other standpoint, what we're talking about is you didn't have the new thing to begin with, and now you're trying to create the new thing. That's not very helpful, because you can't rewind time and go back and put them back at that point. And so now you've got to have the explanation of why it's important to them that you've created this next new thing. Why it's important to them that you have this new service, new process to go through that that you weren't able to tell them about before because it didn't exist before. Why the next new program is going to be the best thing for them, because you've got to have that conversation with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you're online, we've got a bunch of folks in line. I guess they're pretty shy, but you know, hit 6 on your phone, especially when you have specific questions about this topic, this process. Added 6 figures to my personal income the first year when I did it, right, when I finally launched the thing. And then after that, it was, you know, taking the school to a whole other level of performance, because the process was different. The process was fixed, right? So it's worth whatever questions, no matter how stupid you might think it is, getting it cleared up, because this is really worth a lot of money. But it's also worth, in my personal assessment and in my personal implementation of this, it was worth a ton of money to me personally, absolutely. Bought a nice car, nice house, great, whatever, right? But really, for me, it was about being really serious about my business and really teaching something that was much more valuable to my customers than what I was originally teaching to them. And I was already teaching, you know, good lessons and a lot of character skills and a lot of confidence and things like that. But you know, now I've had students go on to, you know, the Air Force Academy, and I've had students go on to, I have one of my very first students, Chris Panera. I get letters from him occasionally. He's working in Congress right now. He's not a congressman, but he's a staff member of the Congressman's Department. So, I mean, you know, just some really interesting, powerful results that I feel really good about, right? So, I mean, I think there's two sides of the coin, and we can never forget the customer part of the coin. It's the most valuable part. And if we're delivering something that's five times as valuable as we were delivering before, charging two times as much money is no big deal.
Absolutely. And again, the thing to keep in mind on this is frankly not to be shy about it. The example I like to use, if you have your child in the most expensive private high school in town, you know, the prep school, and let's say you're paying $25,000 a year for private school tuition, you expect, the reason they're there is that every teacher, every support staff member, every time they interact with them, they're prepping them for a high-level career, and they're prepping them for going to an Ivy League school. And you would expect that there's lots of conversations with your child about goal setting, about prepping for the SATs, about what type of careers are available to them, and whether they should be thinking in terms of getting an MD, a JD, or a master's or a bachelor's degree, what they should be doing, what the prep process is. You expect that, right? And if we're not thinking the same way, if we're not prepping all of our students for getting their black belt and beyond, and explaining to them what the benefits and outcome of getting the black belt and beyond are, is we're letting them down. It's not about, it's a sales pitch. It's about any educated parent should expect that that's what we do. And any of them that give you any pushback, and there will be the occasional person. I mean, and keep in mind, you don't make policy on how you do things based upon the 5% that are going to be agitated about anything you do. You make policies on what you're going to do, about what's best for everybody, best for you, your staff, your school, and more importantly, what's best for your students and their outcomes. But if you look at what you're doing and you're not constantly prepping your students to have success in their martial arts training, which we exemplify by getting to black belts and second-degree black belt and third-degree black belt, if you're not constantly prepping them on success, you're not doing your job. So you've got to not be shy about that. And the occasional parent who says, well, you're just trying to get them committed to black belt, you know, the answer is yes. You're exactly right. Mrs. Jones, let me ask you a question. If Joey was in high school and the guidance counselor wasn't walking him through how to get, you know, ACT and SAT prep and how to apply to the highest level colleges and wasn't giving him a vision of all the things that with his talents and capabilities he could accomplish, you'd be upset, wouldn't you? Well, that's our role. Our role is not to bring a student in and have them be a failure at karate or have them do it as a short-term experience. Our goal is for them to be successful. So you've got to constantly be, you know, not be shy about it. And if anybody ever gives you any pushback, you've got to explain it in the most sincere way possible, which is that's what our mission is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's you can't ever retreat, right? I mean, you know, you certainly can't give the high ground up. And you're exactly right. I mean, it really is your mission. And I mean, if it isn't, then it's a YMCA deal, you know, which I think at some level is, you know, unethical. I mean, really, yeah. If you're not in it for the long term of the student, then why are you in it? And, you know, you should go sell, I don't know, widgets or something, because this is about the long term development of the student, you know. But I think that's right. So we're almost out of time. But again, if we've got a hot book on the line. So if you do have specific questions about implementing this in your specific school, I think, you know, now is the perfect time for that. Hit 6 on your phone and you're unmuted. There are slight variances between, you know, different types of schools where your students are at and things like that. But in reality, it's all about describing what that additional value is to both constituencies, the parent and the student, and then doing it in such a manner that You know, one important component of this is momentum. You don't want to bleed to death on this deal. You don't want to do two of these deals a week or two of them a month and think that you're making progress. You really want to do a launch. It's how I've described it, how we've done it very successfully in lots of schools, is you want to market the thing for 3 or 4 weeks that is just an all-out blitz. I mean, it's every media you can get your hands on, an event a week, two events a week, a teleseminar a week, email, whatever it is, right? Tons and tons and tons of movement. And you're pre-framing that you're going to open this program for enrollment on September 30th, whatever. You pick the date. And you have everybody go through the application process. You select them to be approved. You pre-select them to apply. They go through the application process. You get all this, you know, vibrating activity in the school. And then when you do the launch, you want to put 20 or 30 all at once. And what happens is then everybody, see, there are certain people who are early adopters. There are other people who are begrudging early adopters, meaning they kind of sit there with their arms folded until they see other people doing it, right? And no matter what you do for that personality type, they're not going to be the first people into the pool, right? Doesn't matter what you do. You can do one-on-one conferences with them 11 times a day. But they're the type of person who, they're from Missouri, you got to show me, right? You got to show them that people are going to do this, or that they're not going to articulate it that way, but you've got to show them that this thing is real. And so you got to have momentum. You really want to move a bunch of people into this all at once. And once you have momentum going, you just have to keep it going. It really is the example in Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. He talks about the flywheel principle, where companies that went from, you know, being good companies to great companies and stayed there, they articulate one of the processes to get them there as the flywheel, as it takes a lot of effort to get the flywheel to move just a little bit, and it takes a lot of effort to get it to move a little bit more, but it takes a little bit less effort to get it to move the next turn, and then a little bit less the next turn. And once you get momentum, once that thing is up to speed, it doesn't take a ton of effort to keep it spinning fast, right? In our environment, it takes effort to keep it spinning fast, but certainly not as much to get it moving initially. So once you have momentum on your side, it's really exciting, right? When you put the first 20 leadership tops on those 20 students, and everybody starts kind of tracking you down to figure out how to do this thing. You know, we weren't really convinced about it before, but Johnny keeps asking about it. Well, what do we have to do to do this, right? This is what you want. You know, you want to have this huge, huge surge of momentum going through this thing, and it really is. I think it's the best thing you can do for your students. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Did we ever get any questions, or are we in good shape for the day?
I don't see any hands up yet, so I think everybody's pretty good.
Okay. Well, let's again remind everybody to go onto the discussion board, because, you know, we've hit a lot of stuff very fast, and I know there are questions. It's just sometimes it's, you know, it hits you so fast and furious you don't know what to ask right away. And so go on the discussion board and ask for clarity on any and everything, so that we can go through and you know, our mission is for everybody to have huge results. I will say 80% of your financial results of your school is not your enrollment flow and your enrollment program, but it's all about renewals and the upgrade process. And I've seen schools that literally have gone from 20,000 a month, 80,000 a month, with the same volume of new enrollments by getting this piece right. And so it's absolutely vital. Now, obviously, if you're only adding 2 or 3 new students a month to your school, you know, you got to fix that first. But you can make huge jumps once you have a reasonable flow, whether it's 7 to 9 or 35 or 40. Once you have a reasonable flow of new students, you can make a huge jump in your results by just mastering this piece of the deal. The other thing, Toby, is we had prefaced, or I had earlier in the call, about talking about scheduling for next year, and also a little bit about some of what we do with some personal consulting. With schools who have momentum, what I found extremely productive a few years ago, and as you know, with all the different things we have going on, is I had really tamped down on doing this for a while. But is I had done a lot of one-on-one days with people. Joe Berube, who's in our inner circle, is one of the people who we've done this a couple times. And what the usefulness of the thing is really being able to get into the skin and figure out the missing $250,000 without it being on as tight a time schedule. And what with a bunch of schools, I mean, I've been Victoria, B.C., Vancouver, B.C., Seattle, Terre Haute, Indiana, all over the country, is oftentimes what we would do is we'd arrange for me to fly out to the school location, which obviously I prefer, is not my preferred approach, but in order to really see what was going on the floor, see what was going on in the sales process, meet the staff, and to be able to truly do many times I've gone out and done 4, 5, or 6 hours of staff training with everybody in the school, as well as a real, visual of what's going on in the school. So I'm opening up some time, along with our rather hectic travel schedule with these seminars, to do some of these in the coming months and next year. If somebody has specific interest in that, they need to let us know right away, because, as you know, there aren't many empty slots in my schedule. The other thing was on scheduling for next year is you and I have been batting back and forth, and really my mission would be for us to get a 36-month schedule that's more or less written in stone, and certainly within the next couple of weeks to get the next year's schedule written in stone. But there's a couple of things we've been trying to bounce between, which is kind of a theme of abundance. In other words, going places where there's a lot of money floating around to get that sense. Some of the opportunities for that are going to the Miami Boat Show or the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show or the Monterey Car Show, things where there's a lot of millionaires and billionaires floating around. And if you get that sense of how much, abundance there is in the world, you get a sense of it's really fairly easy to scoop up what you want rather than to have it be difficult. The other thing that we're looking at is the theme of leadership, and I spent quite a bit of time recently at the Air Force Academy, and one of the pieces that we spent quite a bit of time teaching about is West Point, and perhaps doing, if not each of the military academies one a year for the next 3 years, at least trying to. There is a hotel that's used by all the VIPs, and including many presidents, is actually on the property of West Point. And so what we're looking at doing is trying to float kind of east, west, or central throughout the year to make it most convenient, because we've got a pretty far-flung group right now. And at the same time, combine the theme of leadership with the theme of abundance and put that down. So we certainly invite feedback on that. Excuse me. And some thoughts. What everybody would like to see. I choked on my iced tea there, Toby.
Yikes. But yeah, if anybody has any specific resources or connections at any of these areas, it might be useful to share that as well. We certainly have a bunch that we're leveraging right now. So we're certainly considering West Point, Air Force Academy, and a few other, relatively cool deals that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, and one of the things that would certainly be fun is to be, behind the scenes corporate success stories. And one of the things that I've done in the past is do the behind the scenes of Disney and their leadership programs, and the behind the scenes of Stu Leonard's, and a lot of other things like that. And so anybody who has some, maybe there's something in your area that's high profile or that's particularly unique, right? That would translate well to the martial arts school environment. We'd love to consider that to work into the schedule as well. So, give us feedback. But we are working on getting that schedule, in stone pretty quickly for next year, and then pretty well outlined for the next 3 years, so we have a clear road of how that's going to look for everybody. Well, good. Anything else that we need to accomplish today?
I think we accomplished everything we need. You'll find on the new member site, obviously a couple of threads on this topic on the forum. I'm also going to prepare a separate section under the Performer Inner Circle resources to share all of those documents and a blitz recording and a few things like that that'll really give you some concrete, tangible resources that you can point your staff at as well when it comes to kind of launching these types of programs. So more to come.
Yeah, and you know, and just be aware, the more information you get, sometimes the more confusing it feels, or there's the one unanswered question. I mean, that's the purpose of the forum, and that's the purpose of our one-on-one calls. And just don't be afraid to launch without knowing all the answers. And ultimately, all objections the students are going to have is going to come down to money or time commitment. But get a pretty good sense of what you want to teach. And, I mean, the thing that most people don't do, use that 150 number. If you have 150 people, you know, you're going to get a lot of renewals just by scheduling an appointment with 150 of them and sitting down and talking to them face-to-face. And that, I know that's a big time commitment. But, you know, I've had Peak Performers members who've done 43 or more renewals in 1 week just by making a concerted effort to schedule appointments and talking to them, people face-to-face. If you have a big number of people to work with, you can renew a third of them being awkward, inarticulate, and confused on what it is you're trying to present to them. It's the other, getting it up to 75 or 80% that requires being, pretty well developed. But in part, you become really well developed by hearing a series of no's and then figuring out how to overcome that with us talking about it or discussing it in the forum or discussing it one-on-one.
Yeah, and really getting a sense of what the customer really does want. One of the things, by the way, which by the way was a big enlightenment for me personally. when I really got out of my own head and admitted to myself that they didn't really care about commas and nunchucks. That was a big deal. One of the systems that I put in place, I think that's really useful for everybody. You said it's difficult to have one-on-one meetings with everybody. I would argue that's not 100% true. As long as you focus on it, one of the things that we used to do at every belt examination.
I don't think it's hard. I think most people just don't do it.
Exactly. It just takes a little bit of focus. One of the things that I forced all of our guys to do at every belt exam, every student got a one-on-one conference. And for those students who were A students, already in leadership, everything was going swimmingly, the conference might have been 90 seconds. For those students who were, A, B, and C students who were ready for renewal, those students got 8 minutes, And really all it was we separated it at the belt examination, and immediately when the guy got his belt or whatever it was, finished his exam, we walked over and showed the report card to the parents and sat down with them for 3 minutes, So like you said, and I know you said it deliberately, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It just takes focus. Well, this is the same thing. You can systematize this, too, so that everybody is getting touched in your school multiple times per cycle. It doesn't always have to be you. You prioritize who gets whose attention and all that sort of stuff, but it's relatively easy to be able to accomplish pretty effectively. And it's worth the effort. I mean, that's, I think, the big deal. Is an extra $100,000 to the bottom line worth a little bit of effort this year, But I think it's exactly.
It frankly could be $100,000 to your bottom line in September.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we, and this is that's not pie in the sky. We've done that over and over and over again. It can be big numbers if you go focus on it, both cash and and contract amount. But you've really got to put that as first priority and get going on it.
Absolutely. Well, okay. Well, thanks for your time, everybody, today. Really appreciate it. And again, more to come. And pop some stuff up on the forum. And I think we're ready to go.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you, Master Milroy. Thanks to everybody.
Sure.